Okay, so connecting with your higher self, part two. And as I've been thinking about this, I realized that there's also part three, just so you know. And part four, and part five. I feel called to really speak to this idea, connecting up with our higher self. And as I've mentioned in previous talks, as we look to life and teachings of Jesus, what we need to understand is that to truly understand his gift and what he brings as a way shower and as a master teacher, we need to know what his goal was with respect to what he wanted his disciples and his students to achieve, to attain an awareness within oneself, to really know that we possess within ourselves this dimension that, as Jesus described, was the source of all of his capacity to transform his life. And so we're speaking about an internal dimension of ourselves when we talk about our higher self. We're talking about a dimension of our beingness that is just as real as our physical body, but yet is not physical in the sense that it's a part of our physical self, but it's our essence. It's what Jesus called the Father. And he described that relationship that he had with the Father as something that was happening within him. The kingdom of God is within you. And he talked in terms of, if you see me, you see the Father. You see the activity of this dimension of myself at work, creating all the things that you bear witness to. And so he's pointing us to a dimension of ourselves as opposed to some exterior power that's separate apart from ourselves. And this should be something that's easily heard in a community such as Unity Spiritual Center and New Thought, because we understand that there's a dimension of our being, the infinite and eternal part of ourself, that which we call our higher self or our higher power or spirit or God, by whatever name, so long as we don't source that outside of ourself, we're in proximity with that dimension that we can access that can bring forth a greater good in our life just simply by allowing that to live itself through us, to think our thoughts and to speak the words that need to be spoken. But there has to be an activity of understanding that something is moving from within us to express and make a difference in our world. And so as we look to Scripture to reveal to us the tools and the spiritual practices that enable us to live in integrity with that dimension of ourselves, which is spirit, which is transpersonal, we can, when we recognize that that is the deeper spiritual work, then we can focus our efforts to cultivate that, because it requires cultivation, because our condition is such is that our evidence of our well-being and worth is almost entirely invested in how our life looks and feels, as opposed to how we're being with whatever it is that we're having as our life experience. You notice that there's a difference between those two, right? That's integral. There's a difference between being with our life as it, how it looks and feels, and thinking that we have to fix something out there in order for us to feel okay or safe. And then there is the awareness that how our life is really an invitation for us to express that which is dormant within us, that which is intended to be a resource that can transform water into wine or a bad situation into something that really serves us. So we're talking about accessing a dimension of ourselves. It's not something separate and apart from us. That's important for us to understand. And it's also important for us to understand that, for the most part, many of us already engage in some authentic, intentional relationship with a dimension that is incorporeal. It's non-material. There's nothing we can actually tangibly see, but it is an energetic field that we interact with. And here's a slide, in a sense, that sort of lays it all out. If you're involved in meditation, contemplative prayer, or divination, using some instrument, some outer tool to really access a dimension of yourself, you're accessing your higher self. If you're involved in any kind of muscle testing or dousing or letting the body's wisdom to convey what it wants and needs, you're engaged in an aspect of your higher self. If you're involved in journaling, automatic writing, or channeling, you're involved in engaging a dimension of yourself that is there to provide you with guidance and wisdom and inspiration. If you're involved in the cue process or mirror work or generating heart-centered coherence, you're accessing a dimension of yourself that is there to transform your state of being so you can be with whatever you're having without feeling diminished. If you're involved in energy work, Reiki, or working with the body, or healing, any healing art, anything that you have access to that enables you through your hands and through your thoughts to channel a gift of life unto something that is separate and apart from you, when you're engaging in that energetic exchange, you're engaging in oneness and you're engaging in your higher self. When you're involved in devotion or ritual or self-compassion or welcoming, you're engaged in aspects of cultivating this dimension of yourself. And when you're asking, how would my higher self see this? You're accessing the part of you that is there to give you the wisdom and insight to make smooth your ways. And so as I think about all these ways in which we're already connecting, what we need to understand is that unless we cultivate the depth of connection, as Jesus describes in a sense, if you see me, you see this dimension of that is ever present in every one of us that is seeking to move us into a greater expression of who and what we've come here to be. So with all that said, I gotta tell you that where I'm shooting for now in this talk is very specific, and I want to tell you what I want you to leave here with, and then spend the rest of my time speaking to that aim. And so I've discovered that there is a place, that there is a way of accessing a dramatic dimension of your higher self when you bring two things together in any given moment. When you bring providence and gratitude together in any given moment, you open up a portal in your life. And what I mean by that is when you have a sense of that your presence matters in a way that you've never had before, when you know that you are the one unto your life, and that is very plain and clear, and you're able to be whatever with whatever you're having out of that place of gratitude, when you bring providence, your purpose, and a moment of gratitude together, you open up a portal to that dimension of yourself that is here to be the one unto your own life, no less than if Jesus was it instead of you. That I know, and that's what I'm wanting to convey is my experience of that very same thing. I mentioned many in other talks about of my previous wife, Nan. This is a picture of her. This was a part of her memorial. She died 15 years ago. And this weekend, is the 15th anniversary of my near-death experience that I mentioned in previous times. I ate something I was allergic to, and I went into anaphylactic shock. And in that moment of suffocating to death, I welcomed passing on because Nan died a month or so earlier of brain cancer. And in that moment of welcoming that, I heard her voice, as I mentioned, and that voice said, no, you're not going to follow me. But then there was a different voice, and that voice said, Gary, you are the one to bring peace on earth. And I mentioned that at the time because I was trying to express how there is often this voice. It might not be an actual voice, but is not our life calling us into being the one on some level? And can you not sense that? It may be so faint that it's only a yes, I can sense that in the terms of principle because you can see dots in your life that don't have any place to connect up to but your higher self beckoning you. And if you can sense that there is a place within you that knows you're the one, that you've been sent, that's what I'm wanting us to acknowledge, that there's this place in us that we need to access to. And the way we access it is through the heart. And so I have to tell you some things that I've never said to you as my congregation before. I've said these things to other congregations, but I haven't been able to say it to you because I just haven't gotten clear enough to be able to speak what I'm wanting to convey. And what I'm wanting to convey is that when you bring a sense of knowing that you're the one to whatever you're having, especially when what you have doesn't look like it's something that you want to sign up for. If you have something in your life that you don't want to sign up for, this is what I'm talking about. If you can think of something like that in your life, you'll kind of apply these the same principle to what's going on for you. And so I remember when my first book was published, The Eye of the Storm. Its basic premise is nothing and no one is against you. And when Nan read that book shortly after her diagnosis of terminal brain cancer, she threw it at me and she said, "This is a bunch of crap. How can you say nothing and no one is against me when I'm dying, my body's dying?" And I got to say that this is the struggle that all of us face, to reconcile our earthly experience with a greater principle that we're here to be the one to make a difference unto our world. And while for her that struggle to reconcile the truth that she was not her body, she had a body, and it was dying, to be able to be in that experience without pushing it away, but welcoming it for what it could provide as a mechanism for unleashing her spirit, she was able to do that, and she was able to get to a place, and I was able to witness something that I had never seen in my entire ministry career, and that is for someone to be in the experience of having a dying body and not be diminished by it, because they knew who they were. They were not their body. And for her to be able to go into that, her dying experience, first going through coma and losing all of her mentation, her capacity to have a sense of what was happening to her, to awaken moments before her death to be luministic, completely coherent and knowing what was happening, and then to witness her last breath and her illumination fill the room, to have that as a context for embracing that moment, which was not something that I signed up for, but yet it was something that was so transformative, not only for me, but for everyone who was a part of her experience, taught me something about what happens when you bring providence and gratitude to coexist in a moment that you don't want. And so I want to speak about a moment that I did not want, and I want to explain how I lived with it and how I worked with that, as a way of helping you understand how I accessed an aspect of myself that led me through an experience that I had no basis or understanding of what was to unfold, but arrived at a place where I could look back and say, it was not I, but that place within me that doeth the works. So for many of you, you'll recall that almost a year and a half ago, I came down with cancer. I was diagnosed with metastatic melanoma, stage 4, and at the time I did not know that I had 30 tumors. I knew I had one tumor on my butt that was the size of an orange and a couple of golf ball-sized tumors. I didn't know I had 30 other tumors throughout my body. But in that moment, Jane was in Canada when I received the diagnosis, and I had already knew through my journey with Nan that I was not going to engage in anything that had to do with Western medicine, because I witnessed what happened to her and her body and her quality of life, and I already decided that should I ever contract any kind of illness like this, I was going to seek an alternative path. And in the moment that I received that diagnosis, Jane was in Canada, and I conveyed that news to her, and it's our human nature. We go through many places within ourselves, but what was the dominant feeling in that moment for me was a sense of gratitude, and a sense of really opening myself to this moment as if it was a gift from God. And while I had it at the back of my knowing that I saw Nan's face as she passed in her last breath, and knew that what awaited me, if that was the way I was going, was not something that I needed to fear. That was not the issue, but it was what the issue was for me was to be with what I was having, knowing that it was absolutely providence, and that as I opened myself in gratitude, I would be able to be carried forward. And so in that moment, Jane and I made the decision that I would go all in on approaching my physical illness with medical marijuana. And in the course of using medical cannabis, ingesting it, I had the most rapid remission that my oncologist has ever witnessed his entire career. In less than 90 days, I was totally, all the tumors were gone. My oncologist came into our room to announce the news, so elated, it was as if he saw the face of Jesus. Coming in with the news, showing me the PET scans, the differences between the two, and wanted, no, a miracle has happened. And then I reminded him that he authorized me to use medical cannabis, and that's probably why I had such a rapid recovery. But the point is that that Jane and I, in the course of making that decision, were totally dependent upon guidance from Spirit, because there was absolutely no guidance. We had no help. There was no doctor, nobody to assist in that journey. And yet, that journey seemed to be ordained, because the outcome of that journey is that I had to be the one to go through and to demonstrate what was possible. And as a result of that, I have colleagues from all of the United States and parts of the world calling me, asking me how my process unfolded so that they get some support. There's dozens of people in our community that have sought information about my process. And so everywhere that I go and I travel in congregations, when I talk and tell this story, I'm inundated by people, primarily baby boomers, people my age, who are interested in knowing more information about this. Now, I just got to tell you this. I didn't sign up to do this. I don't want to have to do this. I don't want to be the one necessarily to be having to be in the role of somebody's minister and talking about pot. But if I'm not the one, who is going to do it? And I can't tell you, yeah, Sally will do it, but... Sally doesn't really understand roach clips, though. Anyway, that's not where I wanted the talk to go. So the point I'm wanting to make is that as I look back on all the things that I've had to be the one, and all the things that I didn't want to do, but I had to do it anyway, and how I'm better because of that. And I want you to think about the things that you're saddled with, things that you have to face, that there's no choice about it. You can't wiggle out of it. It's yours. And I'm wondering if you can find a place within yourself where there's this still small voice that is inviting you to kind of know that you're the one. There's nobody else. You're it. You have to be the one in this situation to do what's the hard thing to do. And as we're able to be grateful and be in the spirit of gratitude, and even knowing that we're ill-equipped, no one knows how to be the one. But everyone's got to be willing to be it, even though we're never alone in the doing it. You know, when I heard that, I don't know if I mentioned this talk, I mentioned last talk. Did I mention this talk that I heard this voice? I don't think you did. Did I say it in this talk or the first talk? Who knows? This side effect from my medication. Sorry. Anyway, the point is that I heard this voice, Gary, you are the one to bring peace on earth. And what I'm wanting you to know is that as I reflected upon that voice, I now understand that I added bring peace on earth. What was the voice is, Gary, you're the one. And what that means is I look back in my life and I see all the places where I've had to be the one in order for something in my life to move to the next step in the transformational journey. And so what is it in your life that you're called into being the one? And so I'm going to finish our time together with these questions to consider. That there's something in your life that's calling you to be the one. What is that about? Can you speak to it? Can you begin to have a dialogue? Can you begin to be in the conversation with that dimension of yourself that is here to guide you, to prosper you, to move you through circumstances that where you don't have a knowing or have any assurances? And what event or circumstance do you struggle with to welcome into your life? Because it's likely that's the very condition in which you're going to discover a dimension of yourself that is the one to move you past whatever obstacle or difficulty you face in your life. And then finally, what greater purpose is seeking to fulfill itself through what's going on in your life? So often we look at what we're having and think, well, we're not there yet. This isn't it. And what if it is? What if every single moment that we have is it, except we can't get to it because we're pushing it away and we don't know that how important our presence is. And so my invitation to all of us as we explore this dimension of ourself that is that presence, our connection to the one presence and one power, that we have to practice engaging and interacting with that. And absent of a practice, then it breaks through in moments when we're when it can, but for the most part, our own internal dialogue eclipses that still small voice. So whenever I have a chance to speak again, I'm going to continue to scratch that itch about talking about connecting up with our higher self until there is a real sense until you all are connected up, but that's not your issue, it's my issue. Until I'm connected up fully, I got to still talk about this. So God bless you all, and thank you for your attention.
See why I love him so much. When you talk about those times, it's a tender time. It's a tender time and a powerful time. And I really honor you and your pioneering spirit that you really listen and you really follow what you're told. And so I want to be just like you when I grow up. So unity stands for peace in the presence of conflict, and for love in the presence of hatred, and for forgiveness in the presence of injury. And so unity honors the many names for God, the many paths to God, the many ways of worshiping God, because we know there's one presence, one power, one life living itself as each one of us. So whoever you are, wherever you are in your transformative journey, you are welcome here. And we'd especially like to welcome those of you who may be here for the very first time. If you are here for the first time and feel comfortable raising your hand, our ushers have a packet to pass on to you. We have someone over here, someone here. Welcome to you. We're glad you're here. So you can fill out this form on the front of this envelope, and this will give us your information to put you on our emailing list, and we promise we won't sell it to anyone. And then you can put this in the love offering bag as it goes by, rather than feeling obligated to give us a gift today, donation. You can also take this over to our barista stand and get a free beverage of your choice, and take it to the bookstore and get a free CD of today's service. And we're glad you're here. Welcome. So now it's our time to welcome and greet each other with a handshake, a hug, a high five, a fist bump, whatever works for you. And let's take it away, Sean.